Bhagavad Gita as it is, text chapter 11, text number 8. Which in my book is page 494. Natumam shakyase drashtum.
Natumam shakyase drashtum.
Ane naiva svachakshusha.
Ane naiva svachakshusha.
Divyam dadami te chakshu.
Divyam dadami te chakshu.
Pashyame yogamaisharam.
Pashyame yogamaisharam.
Natumam shakyase drashtum.
Natumam shakyase drashtum.
Ane naiva svachakshusha.
Ane naiva svachakshusha.
Divyam dadami te chakshu.
Divyam dadami te chakshu.
Pashyame yogamaisharam.
Pashyame yogamaisharam.
Natumam shakyase drashtum.
Natumam shakyase drashtum.
Ane naiva svachakshusha.
Ane naiva svachakshusha.
Divyam dadami te chakshu.
Divyam dadami te chakshu.
Pashyame yogamaisharam.
Pashyame yogamaisharam.
Natumam sakyase drashtum.
Natumam sakyase drashtum.
Ane naiva svachakshusha.
Ane naiva svachakshusha.
Divyam dadami te chakshu.
Divyam dadami te chakshu.
Pashyame yogamaisvaram.
Pashyame yogamaisvaram.
Someone else?
Natumam sakyase. Sakyase drashtum.
Natumam sakyase drashtum.
Anaineva svachakshusha.
Anaineva svachakshusha.
Divyam dadami te chakshu.
Divyam dadami te chakshu.
Pashyame yogam aishwaram.
Pashyame yogam aishwaram.
Natumam shakyase drashtum.
Natumam shakyase drashtum.
Anenaiva svachakshusha.
Anenaiva svachakshusha.
Divyam dadami te chakshu.
Divyam dadami te chakshu.
Pashyame yogamaisvaram.
Pashyame yogamaisvaram.
Natumam sakshase drashtum.
Natumam sakshase drashtum.
Anenaiva svachakshusha.
Anenaiva svachakshusha.
Divyam dadami te chakshusha.
Divyam dadami te chakshu.
Pashyame yogamaisvaram.
Pashyame yogamaisvaram.
Natumam sakshase drashtum.
Natumam sakshase drashtum.
Anenaiva svachakshusha.
Anenaiva svachakshusha.
Divyam dadami te chakshu.
Divyam dadami te chakshu.
Pashyame yogam aishwaram.
Pashyame yogam aishwaram.
Natumam
sakshase drashtum. Anenaiva svachakshusha.
Divyam dadami te
chakshu.
Pashyame yogam
aishwaram.
Natumam sakyase drashtum.
Natumam sakyase drashtum.
Anenaiva svachakshusha.
Anenaiva svachakshusha.
Divyam dadami te chakshu.
Divyam dadami te chakshu.
Pashyame yogamaisvaram.
Pashyame yogamaisvaram.
Ladies.
Natumam sakyase drashtum.
Natumam sakyase drashtum.
Anenaiva svachakshusha.
Divyam dadami te chakshu. Pashyame yogam aishwaram.
Natumam
shakyase drashtum.
Anenaiva
svachakshusha.
Divyam dadami te chakshu.
Pashyame yogam aishwaram. Maheshwaram.
Nala.
Nala.
Never.
Never.
Do.
Do.
But.
But.
Mam.
Mam.
Me.
Me.
Shakyase.
Shakyase.
Are able.
Are able.
Drashtum.
Drashtum.
To see.
To see.
Anena.
Anena.
With these.
With these.
Eva.
Eva.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Svachakshusha.
Svachakshusha.
Your own eyes.
Your own eyes.
Divyam.
Divyam.
Divine.
Divine.
Dadami.
Dadami.
I give.
I give.
Te.
Te.
To you.
To you.
Chakshuhu.
Chakshuhu.
Eyes.
Eyes.
Pasha.
Pasha.
See.
See. See.
Me.
Me.
My.
My.
Yoga Maheshwaram.
Yoga Maheshwaram.
Inconceivable mystic power.
Inconceivable mystic power.
But you cannot see me with your present eyes. Therefore, I give you divine eyes. Behold my mystic opulence. Purport. A devotee does not like to see Krishna in any form except his form with two hands. A devotee must see his universal form by his grace, not with the mind, but with spiritual eyes. To see the universal form of Krishna, Arjuna is told not to change his mind, but his vision. The universal form of Krishna is not very important. That will be clear in subsequent verses. Yet because Arjuna wanted to see it, the Lord gives him the particular vision required to see that universal form.
Om Jnana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Dharmayam Tathati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Tata Patakamalam, Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupam Sarvajatam, Sahagana Jagannathanvitam Stam Sativam, Sadvaitam Savadutam, Vrajana Saitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Sri Radha Krishna Padam, Sri Vishakhanvitamscha E Krishna Karuna Sindho Tina Vanto Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Kana Kanta Roste Tapta Kanchana Govangi Radhe Vrindadeshwari Vrishabhanuste Devi Vancha Prabhupatadubhyascha Kripasindubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vaishnavi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Natu Mam Shakyase Drashtu Hanenaiva Svachakshusha. Divyam dadami te chakshu, pashyame yogamaishvaram. Arjun had said to Krishna that I see your form now as it is. Yatatatvam. Evam etad yatata tvam atmanam parameshwara. O Parameshwara, now I'm seeing you as you are. But drashtum icchami te rupam aishwaram purushottam. O Purushottam, I want to see your majestic Vishwarup. So, if you think that I could see it, manyase yaritach chakyam maya drashtum iti prabhu, Yogeshwara tato me tvam darshayat manam avyam. Then please show me that form. That means that the original form is the form of Krishna, the Shyam Sundar. And just to uphold the understanding that Krishna is the source of everything, Aham Sarvasya Prabhu, Arjuna asked to see the universal form. What is the universal form? What's in it? We'll find in later verses that it's the form that shows God in relation to the material world. It has all sorts of material stuff in it. The sun and moon are his eyes. The demigods are situated in this universal form, all the devas. So many things, whatever there is in the universe, is seen in that form all at once. These things are all material things. The sun and moon have a beginning and an end. The soldiers will be seen in the universal form, have an end to their lives, as will be demonstrated. So far, so good. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it said the bones are, his bones are the mountains, his veins are the rivers, the birds are the sound of his voice, the middle, upper, the lower middle and upper planetary systems are the different parts of his body. So, this is the form that shows the material world in relation to the Supreme Person. In relation to the Supreme Person. Because we're used to seeing this material world. Yeah, aren't you glad you're sitting next to that door? Who's yelping? Anyway, it's okay. We'll give him 10%. We'll give him a 5% concession. But not more than that. How did I know this would happen? Must have mystic powers. So we are used to seeing the things of this material world, and we're very impressed by the things of this material world. People go to see, say, Niagara Falls. Yeah. Who's been to see Niagara Falls? Anyone? Yeah. Well, I have half the room. And Candy. And from California, too. So you've seen, it's very powerful, all that water. Makes like a roaring sound, and the water is crashing, and very great. It's impressive. Therefore, people go from all over the country to see Niagara Falls. Falls. Or they go to the Grand Canyon because it's grand. It's very deep and it's got all these colors and so many things. Or they go to Sequoia National Park because there's such huge trees. And people are practically overwhelmed by the greatness of these material things. And sometimes even people will say, this is my idea of God. God is in nature. God is present in this power. So we are impressed by the greatness of great material things. So Arjuna is going to see all of the great material things, great and small, all the material things that there are in the universe, all within the body of Krishna. That means it's going to be very impressive. People go to see a sound and light show. This is the ultimate sound and light show. They're seeing everything, the entire universe, within the form of Krishna. But this is still a presentation in terms of the material energy. For Krishna, of course, it's all spiritual because it's all his energy. The material or spiritual, it's all his, just as electrical energy is used for heating or it's used for cooling, although it's the same energy. Krishna's energy, he can use materially or spiritually. For him, it's the same. But the effect is different on us. So, in the universal form, he'll show everything in the universe. One time someone asked Srila Prabhupada, is the universal form just for this universe, or is it all the universes? Or is it one universe is enough for you? Everything in the universe was to be shown to Arjuna within this Virat Rupa or Vishu Rupa. And that's what he wants to see. But Arjuna says, Krishna says, you can't see this form just with your mind or with your ordinary eyes. It's not possible. This is just something like you go to the theater, you can't see the 3D without special glasses. Isn't that how it works? Who's seen Avatar? As many as you have gone to Niagara Falls, you've probably seen the Avatar movie, right? I hear that special glasses you put on, and then you see things in 3D. Otherwise, with your ordinary vision, I guess it's flat, like every other movie. So they have to give you 3D eyes. Then you can see whatever the effect is supposed to be. So Krishna tells Arjuna, this is going to be a transcendental vision, and therefore you need transcendental eyes. How will you get them? I'll give them to you. Divyam dadami te chakshu. I'll give you these divine eyes so that you can see the Vishwarupa. But as Prabhupada points out, generally people read Bhagavad Gita and the big thing is the universal form. That's what they take away from Bhagavad Gita, is this vision of the universal form, which of course is meant to be tremendously impressive. But they miss the point of why this impressive form is shown. It's shown to emphasize the transcendental greatness of Krishna in his original form. Because it's Krishna who shows the universal form. It's not the universal form that shows Krishna. Krishna says, Matta parataram nanya kinchinasti tanaja. There's nothing higher than my form as Krishna. And that will be made more clear at the end of the chapter. Devotees who are correctly situated in a transcendental relationship with Krishna are attracted by loving features, not by a godless display of opulences. the playmates of Krishna, the friends of Krishna, and the parents of Krishna never want Krishna to show his opulences. They are so immersed in pure love that they do not even know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In their loving exchange, they forget that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that the boys who play with Krishna are all highly pious souls, and after many, many births, they are able to play with Krishna. Such boys do not know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They take him as a personal friend. Therefore, Shukadeva Goswami recites this verse. Itam satam brahma sukhanubhutya dasyam gatanam paradaivatena mayashritanam nadadarakena sakam vajavru pritapunyapunjaha. Here is the Supreme Person, who is considered the impersonal Brahma by great sages, the Supreme Personality of Godhead by devotees, and a product of material nature by ordinary men. Now these boys, who have performed many, many pious activities in their past lives, are playing with that Supreme Personality of Godhead. Itam satam brahma sukhanubhutya. The impersonalists think of Krishna as a manifestation of the impersonal absolute, and the devotees think of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mayashritanam nadadarakena, and the ordinary men think that Krishna has assumed a material body, or that Krishna is an ordinary person. Avyaktam vyaktimapannam manyante mam bhutayaha avajananti mam bhuta mam shintanam ashritam. They don't understand Krishna, but according to their level of, according to the way they approach him, Krishna reciprocates. Yeyatam mam prapadyante tams tataya vajanaha. For those who approach him as the impersonal absolute, he reciprocates as the impersonal absolute. For those who approach him as Bhagavan, he reciprocates as Bhagavan. For those who treat him as an ordinary human being, he shows, yes, I'm an ordinary human being. And, astonishingly, these cowherd boys, after many, many births of pious activities, are playing with that Supreme Personality of Godhead, like intimate friends. That means they don't even know. They're not in ignorance like the fools who think that Krishna is an ordinary human being. Rather, out of love for Krishna, they forget that Krishna is God. Prabhupada gave an example that in his householder life, one time he was with one of his godbrothers, and Prabhupada's son was playing on his lap. And the godbrother said to the son, you're putting your feet on a Vaishnav. That's not very good. So the boy said, he's not a Vaishnav, he's my father. That means it doesn't consider Vaishnav, not Vaishnav. He's my father, that's all. So the cowherd boys, out of love for Krishna, they're not considering that Krishna may be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is our friend, that's all. How is it possible? It's possible because of their love for him. Krishna's yogamaya, his spiritual energy, arranges things in such a way that the boys don't even have to they can't even consider that Krishna may be Supreme Person. Yashoda Mayi. She's chasing Krishna with a stick, tying Krishna up to the grinding board. How can she do that? It's out of love for Krishna. She doesn't think that Krishna is Bhagavan. Krishna is my child, that's all. These are the relationships for which the pure devotees aspire, the relationships they're looking for. The curse of the cell phone. Srimad Bhagavatam said that the greatest obstacle to spiritual realization is to think that there's something more important than Krishna consciousness. Anyway, maybe sometimes there may be something more important than class. I hope it's at least a $20,000 transaction. Of the cell cowherd boys who are playing with Krishna have no cell phones. Otherwise they'd have to come back to the material world. Hello? Yeah, I'll be right down. Well, these cowherd boys, they're simply interested in playing with Krishna. And Arjuna is also a devotee of Krishna in friendship. So he had no great eagerness to see the universal form. But he had a reason for asking Krishna to show it. The fact is that the devotee is not concerned with seeing the Vishwarupa, the universal form, but Arjuna wanted to see it to substantiate Krishna's statements, so that in the future people could understand that Krishna not only theoretically or philosophically presented himself as the Supreme, but actually presented himself as such to Arjuna. Arjuna must confirm this, because Arjuna is the beginning of the parampara system. Those who are actually interested in understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and who follow in the footsteps of Arjuna, should understand that Krishna not only theoretically presented himself as the Supreme, but actually revealed himself as the Supreme. Lord gave Arjuna the necessary power to see his universal form because he knew that Krishna did not particularly want to see it, as we have already explained. And there are sometimes Bhagavans who come up, crop up now and then. I am God, I am the Supreme Lord, I am an avatar. But they don't display the, none of them has displays the universal form. Sometimes they cheat a little, they say, no, I don't say that I'm God. My followers say that I'm God. One time some of Srila Prabhupada's followers got the idea, you know, what can I do? They say that I'm God, I don't say it. One time in 1970, some of Prabhupada's disciples got the idea that Prabhupada was actually God. The Prabhupada didn't say, what can I do? He threw him out of the society. You come back when you've got your head screwed on straight. But their so-called Bhagavans, they thrive on it. I don't say it, my disciples say. And why do their disciples say? Well, because he can produce a Rolex watch from out of his sleeve. People are so stupid. Even if they may be great government ministers or whatever, they're such fools that they accept a 10th class magician to be the Supreme Lord. I have a godbrother who's a magician, actually. He does magic tricks for parties and so on. Supports his family that way. And he saw some videotapes of one very sly Baba who claims to be God and who's presented as God, and saw him doing wonderful things, producing gold chains and producing Shalagram Shilas from his mouth and producing wonderful things. And the devotee said, he's not even a good magician. And the magician knows how to do all this stuff, and he sees how the trick is done. He says, he's not even a good magician. And what to speak of being God. But people are, who don't know the science, accept some rascal as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Arjuna asks Krishna, please demonstrate factually that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Please show your universal form. And Krishna did it. The later in the chapter, we'll find that after seeing the universal form, Arjuna said, that's enough. Now I want to see your real form. First as Chaturbhujmurti, four-armed form, and then as the original Krishna. And Krishna, after showing the, upon showing his original form, said, Sudur Darsham Idam Rupam. This form that you're seeing, Drishtavanasi Namyata, let's see. Sudur Darsham, Drishtavanasi Yannama. Devapyasya rupasya nityam darshana kamchana. This form is still more difficult to see. Sudra darshan idam rupam. Devapyasya rupasya nityam darshana kamchana. Even the devas are always keen to see this two-armed form as Krishna. Naham vedarana tapasa nadanina nacheja. Shatya evam ditho drashtun drashtavan si mamnita. This form can't be seen by Vedic study, by tapasya, by charity, by worship. Bhaktya tvananyaya shatya ham evam vitorjana. My dear Arjuna, this form, it's text 53, goes with it. This form can only be seen by unalloyed devotional service. Bhaktya tvananyaya shatya. Jatum drashtum chutatvena praveshtum chakvaranti. So the mud karmakin, mud padamo, mud puff the son of Arjita. Nirvaira sarvabhuteshu yasamameti pandava. Person who works for me, who makes me the supreme goal of his life, who devotes himself to me, free from material association, who's not envious of any living entity, he comes to me. That's the conclusion. The conclusion is Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and our business is to engage in his devotional service and go back to him. Coincidentally, this verse was quoted to me yesterday at the India Day event. There's some sangha, some group for divine vision, awakening.
Divine light mission or something.
Divine light awakening something. Yeah, they got a nice long name. Divine light awakening vision mission society something. So I had a few spare moments. I went and spoke to the young lady who was there, two young ladies and one gentleman. So what's your thing here? What are you teaching? So they're teaching that you can open up your third eye and have spiritual vision and see the light. And they're quoting Divyam Dadami Te Chakshu. It seems that Guruji, whoever Guruji is, does something, maybe touches you or something, and then you get the divine vision, your third eye opens up and you see the light.
Everything in 3D?
Hmm?
Everything in 3D?
Yeah, at least 3D, 4D, 5D, whatever. You see the light. And okay, you see the light, and then what? Now then your life changes. What does that mean? You become a better person. You become kinder, you become nicer, you become good. Yeah, okay. And what's the goal? The goal is finally that you merge with God. As explained in Bhagavad Gita. I asked them, where is this explained in Bhagavad Gita? The person, they're quoting Bhagavad Gita, Divyam Dadami Te Chakshu. It's like, that's the verse in Bhagavad Gita, Divyam Dadami Te Chakshu. Then you merge with God. I said, wait a second, where is that? It's there, someplace. I told him, well, when you find it, send it to me, okay? As far as I know, it's in the 19th chapter.
Where's Zero?
That's actually the largest chapter of Bhagavad Gita, by the way. And there's no consideration of the context for the verse. Krishna doesn't tell Arjuna, I'll give you divine vision, and your third eye will open, and you'll see the light. Even though they quoted that so many suns rising, all right, you'll see some light, but that's not everything. It's not just light. You'll see everything described here. And even after seeing it, finally you'll come to the conclusion that's not the highest. Because the verse is in a chapter, and the chapter has a conclusion. And the conclusion is that Krishna is the supreme person, Bhagavan, and our business is to serve him. Our business is to serve him. So, yet again, another spiritual society which is presenting Bhagavad Gita as it isn't. Their own ideas, their own concoctions, and I can go to their website. So I did, I went to their website. And we're feeding the poor and we're helping people. Oh, we've become good, 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 because we've had our third eye open. But we're doing mundane welfare work. We're making this a better world. Krishna never said, make this a better world. Open hospitals or feed the poor or give clothing to the people who have them. That's not Krishna's mission. Make this a better world. This world is always going to be a tenth class place. Dukkhaliyam Ashashvatam. You can't turn it into Sukkhaliyam. That's not possible. Rather, the business is praveshtam chaparantapa, to go back to Godhead, to enter the spiritual world and associate with Krishna. Anything else is cheating. Make this a better world, open your third eye, see the light show, merge with God. This is all rubbish. But because people are naive, they're accepting this rubbish as if it were what Krishna is actually teaching. So one should carefully study Bhagavad Gita and understand it as it is, and one should challenge this rubbish also. When we come across these bogus things, we should say straight out, this is a bogus thing. What is the evidence for this? People shouldn't be cheated. We should challenge them. Not that we're good. That was another another stall. Down 10 feet away from them was some...
Chinmaya mission.
Some mission. And they said, yes, there are many paths to the goal. Yeah, okay, there are many paths, but they don't all go to the goal. You buy a ticket for Bombay from Calcutta, you're not going to go to Hyderabad. Now, what is this? All paths lead to the goal. Yanti deva pita devan pitrin yanti pitri pita bhutani yanti bhuteja yanti madhyajanopima. Those who worship the devas go to the devaloka. Those who worship the pitas go to the pitriloka. Those who worship the bhutas go to the bhutas. And those who worship Krishna go to Krishna. Not that you worship the devas, you go to Krishna. You worship the pitas, you go to Krishna. You worship the ghosts, you go to Krishna. You buy a ticket for Calcutta, you go to Hyderabad. You buy a ticket for Delhi, you go to Hyderabad. You buy a ticket for New York, you go to Hyderabad.
Unless you jump from the airplane.
There's an idea.
Still, you're not guaranteed to go to Hyderabad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jump and catch another train.
So there's so many societies which are teaching something which is not true, which is not practical, which is not taught by Lord Krishna. And they're teaching it as spiritual, as divine, as coming from Bhagavad Gita. So we should study Bhagavad Gita so that we understand it factually. It's not that everything is one, everything's the same. All paths are the same. I'm okay, you're okay, everything's rosy because it all reaches the same conclusion. Tamasi ma jyotirgama. Then why are the Vedas saying, come to the jyoti, don't go to the tamas? If it's all the same, why tell you to do something? Wherever you're going, you're to go to the jyoti. But tamasi ma, don't go to the darkness. Jyotirgama. Right? That means not everything goes in the same direction. Otherwise, they wouldn't have to tell you everything. You just go there automatically. So this, everything leads to, all roads lead to Rome. It's all rubbish. It's all rubbish. We shouldn't be fooled by this rubbish, and we should try to save others from being fooled. Kaivalya Nistaraka. It's said about the six Goswamis that they rescued people from the devouring mouth of liberation. The devouring mouth of Kaivalya, of merging with God, supposedly becoming one with God, obliterating their spiritual individuality. Goswami saved the conditioned souls from that. And what to speak of saving them from some bogus cheap thing that doesn't even go that far. Some magic tricks and some false punchlines. But we should understand Bhagavad Gita as it is, follow Bhagavad Gita as it is, engage in unalloyed devotional service to Krishna, and make our life successful. Hare Krishna. Any questions?
I had a discussion with one of my colleagues about this exactly. And what do we say when people say that there is something called a Prasthana Trayi, which is Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads, and I think the third one is
Vedanta.
So, because we read the Bhagavad Gita, we know, we try to understand as much as possible. But they say, you know, those other two things, they support something else.
No, why something else? They all support the same thing. Why should they go in three different directions? Prasthan Trayi, three sources of evidence. Why should one go to this truth, another go to some other truth? They're all going to the same truth. Vedanta by logic, Upanishads by spiritual discrimination, and the Bhagavad Gita by devotional service, conclusively. Sarva Upanishado Gavo. You can quote to them. The Shankaracharya said that as far as your Upanishads are concerned, Bhagavad Gita is the essence of the Upanishads. It's quoted in the beginning. Sarva Upanishado Gavo.
Let's find it. End of Shankaracharya.
Is that Shankaracharya? He accepted it. Sometimes these verses are attributed to Shankaracharya. In any case, he certainly accepted Bhagavad Gita. And we find at the end of the introduction, Sarva Upanishado Gavo Dokta Gopala Nandana Parto Vatsar Suvir Bhokta Duktam Gitam Ritam Mahat. This Gita Upanishad, Bhagavad Gita, the essence of the Upanishads, Sarva Upanishado Gavo, it's just like a cow. And Lord Krishna is milking the cow. Arjuna, Parto Vatsa Sudhir Bhokta, Arjuna is just like a calf. And the learned scholars and pure devotees, Duktam Gita Nitam, are meant to drink the nectar of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is the essence of the Upanishads. And as far as Vedanta is concerned and the Vedas are concerned, Vedantakrit Vedavid Eva Chaham Sarvasya Chaham Sanivishta Sarvasya Chaham Matasmritir Gyanabhava Vedaishya Sarvaira Hameva Vedra. All the Vedas are pointing toward Krishna. Vasudeva Paravirda. So whether you go by the Vedas, you go by the Upanishads, you go by the Vedanta Sutra, you go by Bhagavad Gita, finally the conclusion is Krishna. But it takes a while. Bhonam Janmanamante Ganavan Man Vadite. The Ganis are studying the Upanishads and the Vedanta. After many, many births, they'll come to the conclusion, Vasudeva Sarvamiti, and then they'll engage in devotional service. Otherwise, you're studying your Vedas, your Vedanta. Yes, what conclusion have you come to? What is the goal of life? You're a Vedic scholar, you're a scholar of Vedanta. What is the conclusion? The conclusion is that I have, there may be, just like there are people, you meet Mr. Trivedi, Mr. Trivedi, and they haven't read anything. They're actually a new Vedi. it's easy to throw around words, Vedanta, Vedas. What have you understood, Vedanta, Vedas?
Yeah, we haven't read. We can't read in our lifetime, I think.
Vedas? They're vast. And they point in so many different directions, heavenly elevations. Yam imam pushpitam vacham pravananti apaschitaha. Veda vadrata partam nanyaraskiti vadam. There's so many people who are saying Vedas, 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 and their interest is how to go over the heavenly planets and enjoy sense gratification. They're distracted by the flowery descriptions of heaven in the Vedas. The Upanishads are the philosophical essence of the Vedas. The Isha Upanishad is there, republished, one of the principal Upanishads. There again, the conclusion is devotional service. Isha Vasha Nidam Sarva. Everything belongs to Krishna.
Did Sanjay also get...
Yes, Sanjay also got to see. He explains that in the 18th chapter. Vyasa Prasada Chutava. By the mercy of Vyasadeva, he was able to see all these things.
Pitama Visham here, so... Pitama Visham, please. I knew what's happening, but he didn't see.
In the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that this is the start of the parampara.
Because, not that Arjuna had his disciples, but we're getting the message of Bhagavad Gita by the grace of Arjuna. So he's the beginning of the transmission of Bhagavad Gita. Of course, the sun god was earlier, but it was lost. So again, Krishna spoke it to Arjuna, and so we're getting it from Arjuna.
So in the introduction, we have this list of parampara.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that way, that Arjuna taught his disciples and they had their disciples. But it came from Arjuna because he's the first person to receive the Bhagavad Gita. And it's spoken by the Vyasadeva who we're getting it.
So, how do we get to know that this is Brahma Sampradaya, Rudra Sampradaya? Because it's all coming from Arjuna. Then how come
no,
we have four Sampradayas?
It's taught Ramanuja Acharya, Madhva Acharya, Vishnu Swami Acharya, Bhaka Acharya. So the lines are described, and in their books they've described, but the line is described, our parampara is coming this way, Ramanuja is described coming this way. So it's there.
They all are after Arjuna, right? I mean, all these
authors. Yeah, everyone's after Arjuna.
So,
but it doesn't mean that Arjuna taught his disciple, then it comes to Madhvacharya. No. Everyone's getting it because Arjuna is speaking to Krishna. Then it's coming to Vyasadeva. Or Sanjaya is speaking, but Vyasadeva is writing it, and then we're getting it. Yes?
Why did Arjuna request to see the universal form of Krishna? Was he in doubt before that point?
Why? So who was? Who can say? Why did Arjuna request to see the universal form?
So how many people can believe it
and understand it? Yeah. So now,
for our benefit,
he knew. But for our benefit, he's asking, please show the, please put the stuff on the table. Show your cards.
Only Arjuna was he and Sanjay, they were the only people
they were living
at that point of time.
Yeah, they were only seeing. So a repeat person can bluff, yes, I'm seeing the universal form. We're not, so show me, then I'll be impressed. Let's go over Govardhan Hill. Krishna lifted the Govardhan Hill, what can we lift? They can shoplift, maybe, but they can't lift all the time.
So by doing, wanting to know the Vishwarupa, seeing Vishwarupa, he actually made us beneficial that we are out of doubt at least.
Yeah, we should.
If nothing else, we are out of doubt.
We have the testimony of Arjuna. I'm seeing this, I'm seeing this, I'm seeing this, I'm seeing this. And we have confidence that Arjuna is the right person. Vyasadeva is not going to record some fool speaking some rubbish. Arjuna is testifying, this is what I've seen. We accept his word. So we're informed, yes, Krishna is not only theoretically, but he actually showed himself. We don't know where, that was 5,000 years ago, but we accept the testimony of Arjuna, recorded by the Astas.
Before even Arjuna, Mother Yashoda had the universal
vision. Yeah, that's another thing.
That's even before Arjuna.
Yeah, that's another universal form.
Yeah.
Krishna can show some pretty good stuff.
But there, a lot of people may throw it out because may think Mother's brain was not working. But here, Arjuna being a kind of intellectual and being a, you know, representative of all of us, like he wanted to see as a proof for all of us. On the other hand, Mother's thing, people may throw out that, oh, Mother might have imagined many things.
Maharaj, I wonder, you're saying this universal form, what is the argument for someone who says that the universal form contains, shows everything? So, there is no difference, you can have any Ishta Devata, you can pray to any Devata, because all forms are within Krishna.
All forms are within Krishna. Why don't you pray to the dog? Why don't you make the dog your Ishta Devata? The dogs are all in the universal form. Why don't you make a snail your Ishta Devata? Why don't you make a fly your Ishta Devata? By that argument. That everything's within the universal form. Huh? That can worship anything. Make Obama your Ishta Devata.
Everything's there.
Make Bob Dylan your Ishta Devata, make Sting your Ishta Devata. Make Eddie Resco, make me your Ishta Devata. You know what? It's within Krishna. It's the mistake of the part and the whole being absolutely the same. You know, the dollar, the little gold ornament is not the gold mine. You know, someone says, I'll buy your gold mine for $10 million. Okay, we understand, you're buying the gold mine, it's $10 million. But someone says, there's no difference between the gold mine and the gold earring. So give me $10 million, I'll give you the gold earring, it's as good as the gold mine. Why are you making these useless distinctions? Everything is one, there's no difference between the gold earring and the gold mine. So if you would pay $10 million for the gold mine, pay $10 million for the gold earring. You're not going to be in duality, are you? Everything's one, isn't it?
I think Shankaracharya has established that you should pray to your Ishta.
Because they were going through so many devatas, so he said, all right, these five, that's enough.
Oh, okay. Five.
He wasn't increasing the number, he was bringing the number down. You mutas, you're all worshipping
too many
gods. So let's bring it down to five, okay? Surya, Durga, Vishnu, Ganesh, one more.
Shiva.
Pancho Pasha.
Yeah.
But finally he said, Padigovinda, 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 Bhutama. You old rascal fools, just worship Govinda Krishna.
Maharaj, you mentioned that the universal form is material. But whenever we see pictures of universal form, there's always.
It's Krishna, but in the context of the material energy. If the mountains are his bones, but Krishna's bones are not mountains. But just because we're preoccupied with the mountains, with the Grand Canyon, with the Sequoias, with Niagara Falls, with all these wonderful things. So Krishna's showing all these wonderful things within his form. But all those wonderful things, they're actually just temporary things. Even though we're so impressed by them, seems that Niagara Falls is a symbol of love because it was there for, you know, centuries and thousands of years. But it's nothing. It lasts for 15 minutes and then it's gone. Vishnu exhales, Vishnu inhales, and Niagara Falls falls.
So praying to universal form is not wrong, because that is spiritual.
Arjuna's praying to the universal form. That's all right. But he's seeing that that's the beginning. I'll pray to the universal form, seeing that here is Krishna.
The beginning.
The beginning. If you read second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, you find the universal form is the first step in God realization. So think, realize God in terms of the material energy. That's the beginning. Because now we're preoccupied with the material energy. So if you show me Niagara Falls, I'm impressed. Yeah. If you show me Bhagavad Gita, I say, what is that? But if you show me Niagara Falls, then I know, oh, Niagara Falls. So because we're materially absorbed, the first thing is to understand that what we're materially absorbed in is connected with Krishna. It's only a partial manifestation of Krishna's energy. And then the next stage is coming. Yes.
You wanna, I have a question. It just said material form, so like, does it mean that material energy which we see today, like around us, is it a transcendental material energy or is it just a...
Is it transcendental material energy or material energy? It's transcendental material energy in the sense that Krishna is transcendental, so all of his energies are transcendental. He has three energies, mainly. His spiritual energy, material energy, and marginal energy.
Yeah.
Where are the marginal energy? Spiritual world is the spiritual energy. This world is made of material energy. So, but it's all Krishna's energy. Therefore, it's all transcendental from Krishna's point of view. But it acts differently. When we're under the material energy, we're going through birth and death. Everything is temporary, everything has a beginning and an end. And in the spiritual world, everything is eternal. Here, Krishna's energy causes suffering. There, Krishna's energy causes eternal happiness. So it's something like the government treasury. From the government's point of view, it's all money, it's all good. So the government invests some of it in a college and some of it in the prison system. From the government's point of view, they're both good. We need the college, we need the prison. But from the prisoner's point of view, the prison means suffering. College would be nice. You, you know, go and live on a nice campus and pretty young girls are there, whatever they do on college campuses. So, from the government's point of view, it's all one. It's all one treasury. But it deploys it differently. Just, I gave the example that the electrician uses the same energy for heating or for refrigeration. So the effect is different. So Krishna manipulates his different energies. And the energy that runs this material world is called the material energy, in which everything, avidya, karma sangha, there's ignorance, and hard work, that's the material energy.
But it came in the class, unlearned devotional service. Mm. Can you elaborate more on that?
Jnana karma jnanavritam. Unalloyed devotional service means no mixture of fruitive activities, doing something to get something, material gain. People are praying to God, give me this, give me this. That's material. And jnana karma, and free from mental speculation. God is impersonal, God is everything, whatever you think, all roads lead to Rome, open your third eye, and all this mental speculation. But free from all that, simply pure devotional service, no mixture of anything.
How does one get to acquire Krishna bhakti?
By his associating with a devotee who's engaged in Krishna bhakti.
But Maharaj, there are people who are pious people who are engaged in this world, doing the form of worship, as in work is worship.
Work is worship, yet the ass is a pujari. If work is worship, the ass is a pujari. He's working. He must be a sadhu. If work is worship, he's worshiping all day long. And by that slogan, the ass becomes a pujari. Work is worship. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna never says work is worship. Rather, worship me by your work. Not that I just work and enjoy sense gratification. I say, oh, this is my puja. This is my sadhana. That's cheating.
For Maharaj, what I meant is some people are born, let's say, in the United States, they are devout Christians and they go to church and they follow a particular path, whatever they know from birth, how do they get to? Is it only by the grace of acharyas or by associating with devotees? Is it because of their past karmas that they get that elevation, that they are able to associate with devotees and then they find the path? Is that
yeah,
the
if their person is fortunate, he's engaged in devotional service by coming in touch with devotees. Even if he's actually following some religious path, that's something.
Yes.
And he can increase his capital if he comes in touch with pure devotees.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So who is better, like somebody who is not going to any place like what you discussed at Strike Group, our national ritual day yesterday? Who is better, like somebody who is not going anywhere, not doing anything, totally involved in the material energy and just doing the material thing, or at least going to even those two organizations which you discussed about yesterday?
The Thomas Jefferson, who's better, the person who's not doing anything spiritual or the person who's going to these organizations that I mentioned? Thomas Jefferson said that the person who doesn't read the newspaper is better informed than the person who reads one, in the sense that the person who doesn't know anything is closer to the truth than a person whose head is filled with lies and distortions. The person who doesn't know anything is better off than the person whose mind is filled with rubbish, misrepresentations. And we find that a person who doesn't know anything about Bhagavad Gita, he's a good candidate for understanding. But a person who thinks he knows because he's gone to such and such mission or such and such society, and he understands that Krishna wants us to open our third eye and merge with him and all of that.
He's got a lot of information,
so it's going to be harder for him.
Mm.
Prabhupada gave the example of some music school. In Europe, there's some very exclusive music school, and if you don't know any music, then they charge you a very high price to train you. And if you do know some music, then they charge you double.
And you have to undo it first.
First, they have to undo it.
Because one philosophy is that okay, at least they are doing something, so maybe after some time, because they are part of this, they may understand, they may get the truth and come back to the right path.
But we're advised, Shravana Naiva Kartavya, don't hear from these people, it's poisonous. Sarpoch Chishta Yutata, like milk touched by the lips of the serpent. We see practically that the person who doesn't know anything more easily comes to Krishna consciousness than those who've associated with these Maya bodies and who are stuck on the idea that we merge with God, that we're God, that all paths lead to. Those people, it's very, very difficult for them to make any progress. They're poisoned. The person who doesn't know anything is much better off. Even Prabhupada said sometimes that was the advantage of America. He came to America, nobody knew anything. All these Western boys and girls didn't know anything about Bhagavad Gita. It was easy for them to learn. The Indians already thought they knew it.
They still think, that's a problem.
Still think, yeah.
Great example.
But Muslims in
Yes, yes, I know Bhagavad Gita. Karmanye Vadika this day. They don't even know the second half of the line.
We were also like that.
Yeah, therefore we're indebted to Shri Prabhupada.
Yeah, 2-3 years ago
we
were also like that.
This is the benefit of the Krishna consciousness movement. Indians, Americans, everyone can benefit from Bhagavad Gita as it is. Yes, Maji?
Yeah, the people, like I'm talking in the same context, is the people, they are looking for God, and if they are shown the wrong path, but like in the heart they want to go at the like the right way, but they are, why they are misleading? Because of their karma, or Krishna wants it, or like they want it?
They want it. Krishna doesn't, it's not, don't blame it on Krishna, he's not conspiring to mislead them. They want it. There's something in their background that they are meant for being cheated. Now, if they're fortunate, they'll escape. And sometimes that happens, that people associate with some mission or some society, and then they realize, oh boy, I was following some crazy thing. I thought this Sly Baba was God, or I thought this was God, or that was God. So then, if they're fortunate by the association of devotees, just like Prakash Ananda Saraswati, he came in touch with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and although he was following the impersonal path, he was rescued. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. They were following Shukadeva Goswami. Many examples, those who were following the impersonal path, but by the association of devotees, they were rescued. So it's possible. Something else?
Well, yesterday I was having a discussion with a devotee, and this is related to what is happening with Hinduism.
Mm-hmm.
I started to realize one thing, correct me if I'm wrong, that Hinduism is proceeding towards a direction that philanthropic work is Hinduism.
Oh yeah, there's so many ideas.
We call that, okay, this is the top of it.
Yeah, even there's some big philosopher, big, oh, he's actually an incarnation of God according to his followers. And he says, Brahma Satya Jagan Mitya. Only Brahma, the impersonal absolute, is real, and the material world is false. And yet he's famous for opening hospitals and other philanthropic organization endeavors. You know, such and such mission hospital. But if the world is false, why are you opening up hospitals to make this false world better?
If you look at Christians, they're doing better philanthropic work than anybody else in the world.
Bill Gates is doing great philanthropic work. Does that mean now that he's a sadhu?
No.
That he's a God-realized person because he's spending money in India to do philanthropic work so that people won't stick to Unix?
Yeah, they can buy his product.
Of course.
That's his idea.
And then on the other hand, if you look at Prabhupada said one day, if you want to give money...
Not only do you become a better Hindu, you can even be a god by opening hospitals. There's some god in South India. How do you know that he's God? He's opened such a big hospital. Does that mean that Bill Gates opens a bigger hospital than that Babaji, that he becomes God? People are so foolish. How many hospitals did Jesus Christ open? How many hospitals did Krishna open? But now God is in the business of opening hospitals. What is this?
And governments are opening it all the time.
Governments are opening it all the time.
Everywhere.
Yeah. Hinduja Hospital in Bombay is... Are the Hinduja brothers, you know, collectively God? To their credit, they're also devotees of Krishna.
But
going back to your question, this philanthropic work is on the material platform. And maybe very better than in the 12th chapter, Krishna will say that if you can't take to devotional service, then do something good in the material world. Then just give up the results of your work. Actually, he says if you can't take to devotional service, and work for me. Give the results of your work to me. If you can't do that, maybe there's some family objection or your mental objection. All right, then give up the results of your work somehow or other. Well, they're in that category. They're giving to the Red Cross, they're giving to the Green Crescent, they're giving to this or that. Good, that's better than keeping it for your own enjoyment. You're giving. Some detachment is there. But that's the third step down. That's not the top. You're not on the 100th floor. You're not even on the 50th floor. You're maybe floor 25 or something like that. And people are making it the top. It means they haven't read Bhagavad Gita. That's Hinduism. Definitely I can say that about Hinduism. There's so many Hindus and they haven't read Bhagavad Gita. You know, what... I'm Hindu. Have you read Bhagavad Gita? Well, yada yada hi dharmasya.
Favorite
slok. Huh?
Favorite slok.
That and Parjanaya Sadhu Namdinam Chaitrius Kutam and Karman Yevadikaraste. Because those are the three verses quoted in B.R. Chopra's movie, so everybody knows that. But after that, everybody's lost. They have no idea. Sarvadharman Pratyajaman Makam Chandra. That verse, where's that? Yes.
When you, back to what she was talking about, when you have somebody that has this desire, say they might be like a fundamentalist Christian, but deep down inside, they do have a desire to one God, wouldn't the laws of karma dictate that they come into a spiritual family in the next life? Because at the time of death, they might have been thinking, okay, I'm going to God, or I have this desire to meet God. Wouldn't the laws of karma dictate that they have maybe either born into a Brahmin?
That's better than karma. They're doing something for God that's spiritual. They're going to some religious institution, they're offering prayers to God, they're considering themselves as supporting it to God. That's spiritual. That's good. You know, say no. That's good. Only some things are not very good. Animal killing is not very good. Thou shalt not kill. Otherwise, we're not trying to convert Christians and make them Hindus or change people from this religion to that religion. We're just trying to give them knowledge how to engage in the service of God. What is the personality of God? It's not to convert them from one religion to another. That's not necessary. But to give further understanding.
Maharaj, what about it?
Time.
It's 8 o'clock. No, I'm just telling you, but if any people would like to go on, where else can you go?
So, Maharaj, what about prasadam distribution? Is that considered philanthropy or not?
Prasadam distribution, is that considered philanthropy? You're hungry? Maybe that's the answer to his question at 7 o'clock. Asking about prasadam distribution. Yes, that's considered mundane philanthropy. If we're simply, you know, feeding kids in the middle of the day so they can stay in school, or going to the poor people and helping them, you know, better life. That's not our business. Prabhupada said, then it becomes karmakandiya. Therefore, our real business is to distribute prasadam, where we have Sankirtan or Ratiyatra festival or the temple. Otherwise, it becomes mundane philanthropic work. Yes, we're helping people. That's not the point.
So food for life is not...
It's not something Prabhupada started.
Maharaj, philanthropic work and sarvabhuta hita rata. How do you connect the two things?
You have to know what the hita is. Sarvabhuta hita rata, always engaged for the welfare of others. But welfare doesn't mean that you don't have good food, I give you good food. Real welfare means getting out of this material world. Otherwise, you go to my hospital, I cure your disease, and then you get run over by a truck. But as long as you remain in this material world, what have I done for you? I've taken the burden off your right shoulder, I put it on your left shoulder. And everybody says, oh, he's such a philanthropist. He was lying on his shoulder, but now it's not there anywhere. Well, where is it? It's on his undershoulder. So I cured your tuberculosis and now you have cancer. What have I done? Real hita, real...
Krishna consciousness to give to others.
Yes. So that they get out of this material world. That's the real. Lokanam hitakanyam. The Goswamis were working for the welfare of everyone. How many hospitals do they open? Even the Americans, they have enough food, they have enough schools, no one's... but they're in the most wretched condition. Not because they're rich, they're not suffering. They're suffering as much, or more. And suppose we uplift all the poor people in the developing countries and then they become like the Americans. Does that mean now their life is successful? they were starving in a poor village in Vietnam, and now they can live in San Francisco and become homosexuals.
rich homosexuals.
I was a poor starving villager, and now I'm a rich homosexual. So what is that? There's two kinds of poor people in the world. Poor people and rich poor people. They're both poor. Real welfare work means Krishna consciousness. Krishna bhakti koila sarva karma pitam. By Krishna consciousness, everything is included. It's your $5 problem, $10 problem, $15, all solved. Otherwise, you just solve one problem and the other problem is there, the next problem, the next problem, the next problem. That means it's useless.
It's up to them. They're the ones who complain about.
Okay. Take a vote, or what do you want to do? I'm just. Shall we stop here?
We can discuss after.
We'll discuss after. All right. RT wins. Thank you all very much.
Hare Krishna.